Grateful for the opportunity just to come and worship you today, and I pray that we would do it with everything that we have. God, give, I pray for your anointing. I pray that you would speak through, that the Spirit would just kind of take over and you would speak through the notes that I got. Pray the same power that raised Jesus from the dead would be in our midst and we'd see it, and that ultimately, God, we would be changed by it. God, I pray for your people who have gathered in this place. I pray that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you for being here. So, as a kid, I used to be really afraid of the dark. I think it was the unknown, the mystery, the lack of control. It was like if I couldn't see, I didn't feel safe. Growing up, I read a lot of R.L. Stein books. So I learned to associate the darkness with evil and with monsters and with this little like marionette dummy named Slappy. But over time, that fear that I felt has subsided. And I'm no longer scared of the dark. And I would like to spend my time with you this morning telling you why. Now, please understand that when I talk about darkness today, I am doing so both literally and metaphorically. And I kind of doubt that very many of you are still afraid of the literal dark, though maybe some of you are. I don't know, but I know a lot of people are afraid of walking into the unknown. We live in an age where anxiety reigns. It's like there's just this perpetual uneasiness that just kind of looms like a dark cloud over many of our heads. I mean, I don't know if you all have noticed, but it seems like everybody is always nervous about something. And for some of you, I know that your anxiety is crippling because you have told me as much. Like you spend a lot of your life just waiting for the next thing to go wrong, like waiting for the next shoe to drop, constantly in your head just turning over worst case scenarios. You know, like what if I lose my job? What if my spouse leaves me? What if one of my kids gets really sick? It's just this constant what if? What if I find myself in the midst of a very dark and desperate situation? Well, I am going to give you three reasons this morning why I am not afraid of the dark, and I hope these things will help curb your fears as well. So let's do it. Let's jump right in. Here's the first one. Reason number one, I'm not afraid of the dark, is because I don't have to be able to see to know that my God is with me. I don't have to be able to see to know that my God is with me. Turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to look briefly at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, if you grew up in church and Sunday school, you're probably very familiar with this story. You'll remember that the king of the Babylonians, his name was King Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a huge statue built out of gold. It was probably a statue of himself, and he placed it in the plains of Dura, and he demanded everybody in his kingdom bow down and worship that statue. But there were three Hebrew men by the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they refused to bow down to the statue because they believed that only their God was worthy of that kind of worship and that kind of adoration, and then they had to face the consequences of their insubordination. That's where we're going to pick up the story right now. Daniel 3, chapter 13, and we're going to read through verse 25. This is what the text says. Great story. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these three men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? Now if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I've made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Some translations say that the appearance of the 4th is like the very son of God. Church, there were 3 men thrown into the fire. But when the king looked into the fiery furnace, he saw 4 men walking around. Now, what I want you to notice here is we don't even know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that somebody was in the fire with them. They never mention it. Once they're pulled from the fire, you never hear them talk about it. King Nebuchadnezzar is the only one who says he saw 4 men walking in the fire. But what we do know is that there was someone else in there with them. And what we do know is that that someone else at least appeared to have heavenly DNA. And what we do know is that something about that someone else made all of the men fireproof. You see, God didn't just save those men from the fire, but he walked with them through the flames. And he will do the same thing for you if you will let him. And we can trust that just because we don't always see God walking, that doesn't mean that he's not still working. Because his promise still stands. He will never leave us or forsake us. One of the reasons that I'm not afraid of the dark is because I don't have to be able to see to know that God is with me. One of the reasons that I don't fear the fire is because I know God will walk with me through the flames. One of the reasons that I am not afraid in my life of hitting rock bottom is because I know the rock of my salvation will meet me even at the bottom. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You know, my wife Bethany is a beautiful woman, inside and out. I mean, by all accounts, she could have done way better than me. Did you hear that? I knew that was coming. The rest of y'all, what you hear, that's the sound of nobody disagreeing, right? I mean, really. Bethany is so much better looking than me that we walk in to places together, and like people of all ages, like little kids on up, like they'll see us coming in and they're looking and they're like, "That just doesn't make sense." And it don't even make me mad. I mean, like, I'm like, I completely get it. And while Bethany is a very beautiful woman, she's also very insecure. I'm not sure why, but most of our marriage, she tells me, she worries about me leaving. Like, she worries that I'm going to cheat on her, or that I'm going to walk out on our family. And for years, like, this has been a point of contention for us because, honestly, I don't share that insecurity toward her. And I think she always felt like, well, you know, if she's so worried about losing me and I'm not as worried about losing her, that maybe that means I don't love her as much as she loves me. But I don't think that's true at all. And I finally explained it to her one day. I said this. I said, "Beth, if you ever left me, it would wreck me. But my God would still be there to pick up the pieces." I said, if you walked out on my life tomorrow, everything good in my life would go dark, but my God is the kind of God who loves me enough to come and sit with me in my darkness. I told her, I said, look, this isn't even about you. I said, you know, the life that I have lived up to this point in my story and the pain that I have experienced has made me well acquainted with the darkness. I lost my dad to cancer when I was 15 years old. I lost my mom to cancer when I was 20 years old. For me, for a large portion of my life, all I've ever known is the unknown. For me, those years from like 15 to 22, man, those were some really dark hours and really dark days and really dark years. But what I want to tell you this morning, church, is the whole time in the midst of my darkness, God was always there. He never one time left my side. And because of that, I know now that if I ever find myself in the darkness again, He will be there, even if I can't immediately see Him. Now, let me be clear with you this morning. I am not saying that I want the darkness to come. I'm just saying I don't fear it. And I don't think you all should fear it either. I mean, because just think for a moment about your what ifs. What if you do lose your job? God will be there. What if your spouse walks out on you? God will be there. What if you get sick? God will be there. What if one of your kids gets sick? God will be there. What if everything in your life and world that could fall apart, it all breaks down right in front of you? God will still be there. I am not a prosperity preacher. At Whitestone Church, we do not preach the prosperity gospel, which is why I can't stand up before you today and tell you that if you live for Jesus, everything will go great and well. Like, I can't promise you that if you follow Christ and walk with Him and do what He asks, that your worst case scenarios won't come true. They might. The things that you fear the most, they might happen. But here's what I can tell you is true. You will never walk alone. There will always be someone else in the fire with you, even if you struggle to see Him. You don't have to always see Jesus walking around to know that He's working. Reason number one, I'm not afraid of the dark, is because I don't have to be able to see to know that my God is with me. Here's reason number two. Reason number two, I'm not afraid of the dark, is because why would a star ever be afraid of the dark? Why would a star ever be afraid of the dark? Paul said it this way in Philippians. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. And I'm reading this text from the NIV, and this is what he says. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Listen, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Paul urged the believers at Philippi to continue to work out their salvation in fear and trembling. He said, even when I'm gone, I want you to continue to surrender your lives wholly to God and let Him do His work and His will. Let Him work through you in that way. He said, do everything that you do without complaining or without grumbling. He said, if you do that, that's all it'll take. He's like, you'll stand out in the world. He's like, in this very broken and perverse generation, if you do those things, He's like, you're going to shine like stars in the sky. You know, one of the reasons that I don't think we need to be afraid of the dark is because those of you who are in the room who have a relationship with God by way of Jesus, we are light bearers. Which means everywhere we go, we have within ourselves the capacity to light up any dark space. Jesus said it Himself when He said to His disciples, you are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden. From day one, when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, we invite the light of the world into the depth of our being. And then from that moment on, everywhere we go, we glow. The Holy Spirit is an illuminating force. And when we come together, we shine. Now, it's Easter. I know that there are people in the room this morning, and maybe this is the first time that you have been to church in a while, and I want you to know you're welcome here. Certainly don't glad that you're here. Thanks for coming and visiting with us this morning. I also know that there are people in the room who many years ago, you can remember when God kind of came in and struck the flame inside of you, but over time, that flame has begun to fade. I mean, like, maybe you look back on your story and you can remember a time when you were really on fire for Jesus. You remember a time when you were taking significant steps of faith. You remember a time when you were doing all the things that Paul talked about there in Philippians. But as it so often does, life just kind of came in and got the best of you. And you found yourself over the years, that light just begun to fade as you sort of faded back in the direction of the world, back to your old self, back to your old ways, and the flame that once raged inside of you, now when you look in there, it's like, man, it's barely even lit. You know, when I was working in my office on Friday morning, I had a vision for the service today. And I'm not the kind of person who has visions. I mean, I've been here for 8 years, and maybe the second time I've ever said something like that, right? But I had a vision, and this is what I saw. All of you were here, and everybody in the room was holding a lantern that looked kind of like this one. And the lanterns that you were holding, each lantern represented the current state of your spiritual life. And so I looked out across the room at all the people and all the lanterns, and man, some of them were like in pristine condition, and the flames inside of them were burning really bright, but a lot of the lanterns in the room were cracked, and they were broken, and they were really worn down, and it was like the flame inside those lanterns were barely burning. And even on Friday morning, as I sat in my office and I was going to work in my way through the vision, as I looked out and I saw the broken lanterns and those little flames, it made my heart hurt. And as I heard, the Holy Spirit whispered to me and said, Brock, this is what I want you to tell the people on Sunday. He said, I want you to make sure that they know that my light can shine even through shattered lanterns. He said, I want you to be very clear with them and make sure that they know that the light of God can shine even through shattered lanterns. Let me show you. That didn't work. You baby okay? I tried to warn some people, okay? There it is. What I want you to notice is the cracks in the lantern just open up even more space to let the light in. The light of God can shine even through shattered lanterns. The quality of the lantern has no right to dictate the glow of the light. Do you understand what I'm saying? The shape that the lantern is in, it has no right to dictate how much the light emanates light. It simply does not. And what I want you to see today, if you're one of these people who are in the room and you're like, man, I used to know God really well, but I kind of laid that chapter of my life down and I've moved on to other things. What I want you to know today is the same God who lit the fire in you many years ago can reignite the flame today. He can. And it doesn't matter where you've been. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. And it doesn't matter the mistakes that you've made. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. I had in my mind the image. There's that beautiful image in the book of Ezekiel when Ezekiel stands out in the valley of dry bones and all those dead bones are lying there in the field. And you'll remember he calls out to the four winds to come. And when the four winds come, the four winds represent the Spirit of God. The winds come and they breathe life into those bones. They begin to reattach and they come back to life. And I found myself thinking, even when I was having the vision on Friday morning, I was like, man, I hope some of these people who feel like they're shattered lanterns, I hope they'll understand that all they have to do is call out to the four winds. Call out for the Spirit to come, and the light that raged in you once, it can rage in you again. I mean, maybe today is the day. Maybe today's the day. It's like I just had this image of the lantern and the small flame and of somebody calling out to God and saying, God, look, I used to feel you in that way. I don't feel you like that anymore. Please breathe life into me. And I just had this picture of God kind of coming down from heaven and just blowing into the flame. And then it just beginning to rage. That's all it takes. Jonathan Martin said it this way. He said, walking in holiness is not to walk in perfection, but to walk in authenticity, to walk in truth. That does not mean we will not have any broken pieces, as you see. That does not mean everything within us will yet become well and whole. But the first and largest step toward wholeness is always to invite the light of God into our depths and to invite a few friends along who we can trust to hold the light for us when needed. I believe pretty strongly that for some of you, today is the day that you're supposed to invite the light of God back into your life. Because here's the thing. If you get to a place where your lantern is glowing, and you hold that up, and I get to the place where my lantern is glowing, and I hold mine up, and we put all of our lanterns together, the words of the Apostle Paul are still true. In this wicked and perverse generation, we together can still shine like stars in the sky. Do you understand what I'm saying? Reason number two, I'm not afraid of the dark, is because why would a star ever be afraid of the dark? From the moment that I called out to God to come into my life at 13 years of age, since that time, God put His light inside of me, and everywhere I go, I glow. Why would I be afraid of the dark? Reason number three, this is the last one. Reason number three, I am not afraid of the dark, is because the darkness trembles at the name of Jesus. The darkness trembles at the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 24 verses 1 through 8 says this. Luke 24, 1 through 8. It says, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. Church, when Jesus went to the cross, he stepped into the ring with all the principalities and powers of this world. He stepped into the ring with the devil himself. He stepped into the ring with death itself. And though for a little while it appeared or looked like he had been defeated, 3 days passed and he rose from the grave victoriously. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate Easter. Ultimately, we are celebrating the death of death. Now, up until that point, death kind of mocked people, much like Goliath stood on one side of the hill and mocked the Israelites. It's like, who can take me? Who isn't afraid of me? And in the same way that a young shepherd boy named David stood up to the giant, the good shepherd Jesus stood up to death. The throne stone of David became a symbol of his victory. The rolled away stone of Jesus became a symbol of his. David fought for the freedom of Israel. Jesus fought for the freedom of all humanity. And here's the thing, I don't know if y'all are aware of this or not, but once you defeat death, it kind of puts the rest of your enemies on notice. The resurrection of Jesus Christ sent shockwaves through the spiritual realm. Now, the demons tremble at the name of Jesus. The devil trembles at the name of Jesus. The darkness trembles at the name of Jesus. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Church, when Jesus came walking out of that dark tomb, 2,000 years ago. It was proof that he had authority even over the dark spaces. There is no place he isn't king. There is no place that he doesn't have authority. There is no place that his power is rendered ineffective. There is no person so dead that the breath of God can't breathe them back to life. Even the very dark spaces in you, it's proof he rules even over the darkness. I am no longer afraid of the dark. Here are the three reasons. Number one, I'm not afraid of the dark because I don't have to be able to see to know that my God is with me. Number two, I'm not afraid of the dark because why would a star ever be afraid of the dark? And number three, I'm not afraid of the dark because the darkness trembles at the name of Jesus. If I ever find myself in the darkness again, I simply say His name, Jesus, and you can feel the darkness begin to shake. Pray with me. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. God, I'm grateful for Your Word today. And I'm grateful for the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Ultimately, the events of 2,000 years ago completely altered the course of my life. And I believe it's meant to alter the courses of all of our lives. God, I pray for some shattered lanterns in the room this morning that need to be reminded that the flame can still burn bright in them. We love You. Move in our midst. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.